Chapter 17. Saturday began as a day of rain. The wind had blown in heavy clouds, which were now bursting into tears. Nothing like an afternoon football game on a sodden field. Right now, Lena and her friends were settling into mugs of hot cocoa, with marshmallows, and discussing the songs they knew, or were learning, which could be used for creating their music video. "The list goes as follows," said Lena. "And I am only talking about original pieces here. We Are, sung by Zell, and Fair Wind, Get Along, and Exit Running, all sung by yours truly. I promised Gowrie a song next, and then one for each of the rest of you, as the inspiration comes to me. Val, you need to get to work on that drum logo. Everyone see the design? Val, Philia, and I came up with it. And Zellos, Val tells me if you want, he can order you a plain replacement in your bass drum size from the new and used music store where, and get this, everyone, Val officially has a part-time job." Everyone cheered. They all knew that Val needed money, and a job would add structure to his life. It also meant a source of equipment at affordable prices. "Next item on the agenda. See, Amelia, I can do this crap too. And I have here a giant wall calendar. It was Zell's wise suggestion that we all put our school and other activities on this so we can plan time for taping, practices, and gigs when they start rolling in. So, you may start, Zell. Take this pen and mark out your activities. I figure it gets updated at every practice, but don't put anything past the 1st of January for now. Why? Because the calendar only goes for this year. Ha ha! Someone else can bring a new one. Thanks. Amelia will supply next year's calendar. Who's next?" Each band member filled out their schedule for November and December as best they could. Few knew what family obligations would be imposed around the various holidays, but were able to make approximations based on past experiences. "So, Sunday is out of the question for everybody. Got that? Looks like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, excepting the cheerleader squad, are clear. Fencing is over except for a few Friday night tournaments, and archery doesn't begin until spring. Zell's got his tutoring stuff. Amelia's got a scary, scary set of duties mounting. I am glad I'm not on the student council. Val's job is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday nights, and Sundays. See, I remembered, even if you didn't. Gowrie, you know your schedule is flexible. Let's not worry about that. Zellos has karate Tuesday, Thursday, and those finals coming up sometime. No, I don't forget a thing. That's right. Like an elephant," Gowrie commented. "Yeah, and I work for peanuts. Now shut up while your fearless leader enlightens you. And my waitress duties are Saturday and Sunday. Okay, Philia, Silphiel, you're not too important, so it doesn't matter. Come when you can, we'll work things out." "Phew," Lena sighed. "That's all, folks." "Well, not so," Zellos piped up. "You forgot. Monday we find out if we got parts in the play. And if we did, practices will screw over your whole..." "No, it won't," Zell silenced Zellos, since Lena was starting to look murderous. "The practices will be during our usual acting period. It is the beginning drama play. That's why Alan Schetzer and the other elite actor kids at this school didn't try out. It gives us poor slobs a chance to prove ourselves." He turned to Lena. "It also means we'd have to provide our own costumes and props and..." I get it. It's a third-rate production. Even if we do get in, it's all meaningless since only third-rate actors could even try out." Lena was breathing fire down Zell's neck. "Well, if you put it that way, it's pretty depressing." Philia looked tragic. "No!" Amelia cried, leaping up to comfort Lena. "It's not a third-rate production, and we aren't third-rate actors. It's our very own special play for us, the rising stars who will soon challenge the existing icons of the school. An opportunity!" Waves crashed behind her, glory shone in her eyes. Lena looked uninspired. Yeah. I don't want to think about it anymore. Hey, Val said, looking over the list of songs. How come only you and Zelly Boy get to sing? I can sing too, you know. Yeah, like a gravel pit, Phileas sniffed. Hey, I can be all sensitive too, Val protested. He was unwilling to let Phileas give him the cold shoulder. Not after all of the indignities he'd suffered to impress her. Yeah, right, everyone agreed. I'll prove it, you idiots. Guys, we're gonna do fair wind. So get ready, he threatened. They shrugged and set up. In 2 minutes, they had refreshed their memories of the instrumental part and were ready to add in the vocals. He started in with a good old rock and roll scream, then growled out the lyrics in a different sort of way.
I love you behind of you, cause always look the front to get to dreaming future.
True, his voice was gritty and unrefined, but it was evocative of raw emotion and great sincerity. He sounded like he meant every word of it, even the ones that didn't quite make sense.
Baby, don't be afraid.
Makes me wish I had wings, Philia blushed. Girl, if I had wings, I'd be flying too, Lena shook her head. Well, do we have a vote, or do I get to sing it? He asked smugly. I guess I could let that one go, Lena grinned. All right! So when do I get a song? Zelos pestered. When I write you one. I've got an Amelia song in the works, and Gowrie's next. Then Philia and Selfiel, I suppose. But, you know, if any of you want to write your own, it'll go a lot quicker. So you haven't even started one for me? Zelos whined. Lena, I'm hurt. Well, actually, I've got this tune. It's really weird and really 60s pop, but you might like it. When it is coherent, I'll try it out on Val's keyboard for you. Anyway, let's run through the rest of the material and get something accomplished. Lena was glad to go home. Even work at the restaurant sounded soothing after that practice. At least Val was happy. Philia had been snootier than usual. Silphiel, glommier. As in, glomming onto Gowrie. Amelia's voice was scratchy with a sore throat. And Zell was depressed and not talking to Zelos, who was annoying and whining. Thank the gods for Gowrie. He never made any demands and was so congenial, not to mention easy on the eyes. Monday morning announcements reminded, as if anyone needed reminding, everyone that this would be a short week, ending Wednesday due to the Thanksgiving holiday. There would be no school-sponsored activities, sports, or clubs this week. Play announcements were posted outside the classroom. I can't see anything! Screamed Lena. I can help, smiled Gowrie. He picked her up and carried her closer. What are you doing? She cried, blushing with embarrassment. All eyes were pasted to the list, so no one had noticed. But there would be hell to pay when they did. Now you're tall enough to read the list. What part did you get? He asked, firmly attached to the squirming girl. Her curiosity won out. I can get him later for this, she thought, then focused closely. You are Bottom, a weaver. Whoa, that's like the perfect part. You get to wear a donkey's head. Cool. Okay, top of the list, Hippolyta, queen of the Amazons, is Philia, because she's so tall and poised. Soon to be married to Theseus, played by some kid named Ryoga. Aegeus is Duo, the short kid with the ponytail. Ugh, let's skip these others. We don't know him. Main characters. She scanned through the boring ones. Wow, Silphiel is Hermia, in love with Lysander, played by... Tatewaki of the Kendo Club. What a creep. And Amelia's Helena. Demetrius is, oh my gods, Val. Hey, Val, you get to be the biggest jerk in the whole play. And you get a love scene with both Sylph and Amelia. Aren't you lucky? Val muttered something wicked in return. She braced herself for possible disappointment. There were the fairies left. She could be an attendant. Peach Blossom is Akane. Cobweb is Shampoo. Moth is Ranma. Mustard Seed is Kodachi. Or she could be Puck. The best part is not Zelos? A shiny purple head poked up. Oh, good. I was hoping I'd get that one. Clever Robin Goodfellow, he giggled. Lena was not pleased. Now there were the king and queen of the Fae and the lovers left over. Who would she get? I am Titania, queen of the fairies? She gasped. Well, it could be worse. Queen? Well, that suits you, okay. Who's the king? Gowri asked, figuring that there probably was one. It got worse. Looks like, oh no, Zell is Oberon. He's the king! Quickly she added, but it's okay, because if I remember correctly, they're mad at each other, so there's no romance. Mr. Zelgadis is Oberon? Amelia had just walked up. But I thought he was going to be Demetrius, she lamented. So that's why she tried out for Helena, Lena thought shrewdly. No, that's Val. You'll have to be a real good actress to pull this one off. Lena suddenly became aware of the fact that she was still in Gowri's arms. Turning redder than Zell ever had, she demanded in the smallest voice possible to be let down. Gowri looked surprised. Oh, I guess I forgot. I guess so, she muttered, slinking away before any comments could find her. Retribution would have to be planned later, because just as Zell and the others finally made it to the list, the bell rang. Amelia grabbed Zell's arm and wrenched him away. There's no time if you don't want to be late for class. You got Oberon. I'm Helena. Here's my hall. See you at lunch. Zell was relieved on his way to English class. I got a cool part. The one I really wanted most of all. I can't believe it. And no romance scenes with Amelia. Things are starting to look up again. The English teacher was in discussion with another student, so Zell had time to gossip with Lena. Zelos was grinning, but silent. Amelia told me I'm Oberon. I didn't get time to check the list, so what did you get? Titania, welcome to the land of the fairies, my king. Lena leered at him with a scary look. Ghoul! He muffled a cry with his backpack. At your service, my lord. I am the annoying hobgoblin, Puck, giggled Zelos, no longer able to contain his mirth. Zell's face remained buried in his backpack until the teacher asked him a question. He hadn't suffocated. Foiled again. For the rest of the day, Zell was determined to stay far away from the purple-haired fruitcake. On his way to science, he snuck down another hallway to wait out the bell. Yo, Zell, called Gowri. See Vaughn yet? No? He wants to talk fencing with you. I don't know what. Sure, see you at lunch. Vaughn, I know where to find him at lunch. That solves that problem. Better hurry. Zell thought to himself as he sped through the halls and into his seat just as the bell rang. He avoided eye contact with everyone, feigning absorption in the lecture material. Lena figured he was disappointed about the Oberon part and dismissed his behavior. It figures. At lunch, Zell had no problem finding the solitary Vaughn at a table by the windows. "Hey, ran into Gowrie. May I join you?" Zell asked politely. "Yeah, Hitomi and the others should be along soon, but there's always room for one more. Anyway, it seemed like you were taking a beating from that Inu guy at the last match, and I found a weak spot that saved my neck," Vaughn said in a friendly voice. "Weak spot? You mean other than his head?" Zell smirked. Meanwhile, Lena's group was engaged in a lively conversation over the play. Amelia was bubbling with excitement now that the initial disappointment of Zell's role was over. Beside her, Kiki was concentrating on Zelos' explanation of the roles. Suddenly, she burst out laughing. "Oh no, you misspeak! What you said was..." She whispered something in his ear that caused him to sit up in alarm. "That's not what I meant," he sputtered. And for the duration of lunch, he spoke English. Amelia kept looking for Zell. "Miss Lena, where do you think Mr. Zelgadis is? He seemed so happy before school when I told him he had the part of Oberon. Well, not exactly happy, but pleased anyway." Before Lena could swallow her mouthful of food, Gowrie answered, "Maybe he's with Vaughn. He wanted to talk to Zell about the match last Friday."
"Oh, yes, I see him now. Okay then, so there's nothing wrong, right?"
Amelia asked Lena. "Who knows? With him, even good news is fraught with uncertainty. And uncertainty is certain to go ill for Zell. That's his karma. Get it?" Lena continued chewing unconcernedly. "So who are those guys Vaughn's sitting with?" Val asked. Philia brightened with expert information.
"Those are the kids from the Escaflowne Middle School area. Most of them are part of that draconian cult. You think my people are odd? Well, we only hope to protect the Earth from the evils of modern technology. They believe they are the descendants of the people of Atlantis who created Earth."
This was interesting information, considering none of them had known anything about the Cepheid believers. Philia had never offered and was not one to proselytize. Thank the gods. Gowrie spoke up in Vaughn's defense.
"Well, Vaughn's a really nice guy. He's a good sport, too. He'd have to be to partner with Zangalus." He chuckled a little.
Lena knew that Zangalus and Gowrie had had a falling out last year. She had never pried, but figured that it was the other guy's fault, since Gowrie couldn't possibly offend anyone.
"Miss Philia, I think you'll make a beautiful queen of the Amazons. If I remember, you don't really like that old Theseus guy anyway," said Amelia with a smile.
"Oh, I guess so. At least I'll have fun choosing a great costume." Philia laughed and swung her long, golden hair.
"That's right. We can go shopping together," Zelos said cheerily.
"Make that the resale shop, and I'll go," Val grunted.
"There's the costumes at my place, too," cried Amelia. "We can look them over when you come for Mr. Zelgadis' surprise party. Oh, about the party."
She looked meaningfully at Val. "I got the gift taken care of. Don't get your panties in a knot. I told you I would," Val growled.
"Hey, be nice to Amelia," Philia chastised. "She's only 14, and she's very sweet and has done nothing but good for you."
Sorry, the gift's cool. It's not wrapped or nothing," Val softened to the watery-eyed Amelia.
"It's okay. I've got lots of wrapping paper, and I love to fix up presents," she smiled.
"Thanks, Philia. That's one less battle for me today," Lena whispered and gave her friend a wink. "It's more than that asshole deserves," groused Val some more. Philia smirked at Lena, then dumped the remainder of her teacup, leaves and all, over his head.
"Gah! Shit!" Now, shut up and stop complaining. I mean, if you're going to be Demetrius, you'd better learn some manners and be more charming than alarming, Philia admonished. His eyes burned a hole in the table, but he kept his mouth shut. Another round to the girls. Zelos had a copy of the script. How did you get that so soon? Lena wondered, but he began to chortle loudly.
Oh, Lena, Zelgus to call you a wanton woman for fooling around with... Don't worry, Gowrie, she cheats on the Fairy King with you. Course, it's all caused by potions and magic and evil little me.
Gowrie looked a little puzzled.
What's he talking about, Lena?
The plot of the play that you and I and all of our unfortunate friends will soon be in. You have a rather important role, and you and I will have several scenes together.
Lena's voice quavered a tiny bit. Oh, that's all right then, Gowrie smiled, relieved of all concern.
Just super, Lena murmured. And you, Purple Puckmaster, shut up too. Lunchtime ended on this high note. Zell slipped into computer lab, again on the bell, never turned on his computer, no instant messaging, and hung out on the opposite end of the room from Zelos, helping the other kids. When the class was over, he disappeared out the door in a flash. Zelos felt miffed, to be sure. The acting class was in an uproar. Scripts were being distributed at random, kids were flitting about like insane fairies, and the teacher was calmly discussing the finer aspects of modal expression in the eye of the frantic storm. Zell found a script on the floor and settled into a chair to read. Soon, Lena found her way over and sat on the other side of him, the first side being shared by the wall. 2 pages into the script, and Lena was ready to move on. She glanced at Zell, who was doing an excellent job of acting like the stone wall his chair was leaning against. Lena drummed her fingers on the script, rolled it up, and sent it flying through the air. Oh, dropped my script. Where could it be? Hey, Zell, want to help me find a script? Lena asked. No, he said, waving his hand without looking up. You threw it over there. Thanks. Lena considered throttling him, then kicking the chair out from under him, but finally decided on giving him what he wanted and simply left. Gowrie was shaking his head and turning pages. He couldn't believe that his character's name showed up so much. Lena sighed and sat beside him.
Lena? I didn't think there'd be so many lines to learn, he said, worry entering his eyes.
Oh, there's not really much to say. Here's what I do. I take my highlighter and color every line to the right of my character's name, which is on the left, Lena demonstrated.
Gowrie looked confused.
Here, let me do it for you, she said, grabbing the script and marking away. There, now you see exactly what to do. In this part, you just sit, and here you look up and say this. Got it? His face lit up.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Lena. It's so much clearer now. I'll remember that trick. Hey, here we are together. And here, too. And here.
Yes, Oberon and Puck mess around with some love potion, and it's supposed to be funny. I gotta go now, Lena said in a hurry.
Class, class, just a few words about costumes.
The teacher called them to silence.
Now then, just a few guidelines. First, the play takes place in Athens, so dress like ancient Greeks. This should be easy with sheets. Secondly, Hippolyta and Theseus are royalty, so should be dressed more richly. Purple capes. Thirdly, the rustics, Quince and Bottom, etc., should wear more ragged clothes. Tattered shorts, you know?
He took a breath.
Nextly, the fairy people, boys and girls, are not Greeks. You should wear bright, colorful clothes with layers and filmy material for the ladies. If you have specific questions, see me. There are books of costume photos and sketches from historical plays and period pieces. Begin memorizing your lines ASAP and gather your costumes, players all.
Val picked up a book and flipped through the pages looking for pictures of Demetrius. He found a lot of paintings of half-naked women in long, flowing Grecian gowns.
Hey, Amelia, Philia, Silphio, oh, girlies, I found some ideas for your costumes.
He grinned as they hurried to look over.
Mr. Zelgadas, cried Amelia, you've got to take these books away from Val.
That's not my problem, Zell murmured without lifting his head. He's entitled to look at any book he chooses. That's right. You tell him, Zell. Here, take a look at these.
Zell paused, folded over the corner to mark his page.
What have you got here? I see.
And Val entertained Zell until the end of the class. On the way out, Val asked if Zell would listen to the keyboard parts he'd put together. Zell agreed that it would give some purpose to the day and wandered off. Gowri and Lena arrived at the practice place loaded with snacks. Zell was resting on the damp grass, arms behind his head, leaning on his backpack, eyes closed. Val was leaning on the door to the practice room, glaring. Amelia, Philia, and Silphiel were sitting apart, reading their scripts.
So, let's go in and get started,
demanded Lena.
Zelos isn't here yet, said Silphiel. He's walking Kiki the little delivery girl home first,
Philia said with an affected smile.
Here he comes now, cried Amelia. I think he likes her. I mean, he spends lunch talking to her, and he got so nervous at the bake shop the other day.
Sorry for making everybody wait.
Zelos smiled apologetically as he attempted to unlock the door.
I did bring some croissants.
Lena slapped him on the back, causing him to drop his keys.
Croissants, huh? You're forgiven this one time. Just don't let it happen again, right?
Zelos opened the door, letting Lena in first.
Hey, why don't you give someone else a key? Like Zell or me. You trust us, don't you?
Leave me out of your nonsense, Zell said to Lena as he moved to join Val by the keyboards.
What's his problem? Asked Philia.
Lena shrugged her shoulders.
I wish everyone would quit asking me that. For the umpteenth time, Zell's demonstrating that he doesn't need friends to exist. Something is bugging him and he can't let it go. He can't share his problems with us because that would mean he needed us. If he needs friends, then he's just a normal human being, which, on close examination, you can tell he is not. He is a freak and must be left alone to suffer. Blah, blah, blah. Is that explanation enough?
Wow, you sound like a shrink, Lena, laughed Gowri.
As long as I hang out with you nutcases, I have to be, she shouted. Speaking of which, Zelos, did you happen to find out when Kiki can start her videotaping?
Yes, I did. She's ready to start when we are. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and most Saturdays will work for her most of the time. It depends on delivery schedules.
So, are you like her boyfriend now? Philia asked.
I'd like that, but she's not old enough. So we're just friends.
Zelos smiled.
I'm sure. She snorted and flipped her ponytail.
Val and Zell were practicing Lena's Get Along piece. Gowri loped over with his bass.
That sounded good when your parts traded back. Like a dialogue. Yeah, a real good arrangement. When you want, I can lay down a baseline for you.
Thanks, Gowri. Probably another run through of this, then we'll try it from the top with you, Zell said. Lena was going over the lyrics with Zelos, Philia, Amelia, and Silphiel. I think your part needs to punch up the song each time the beat goes ta-ta-ta-dum-dum. Zelos, can you do a simple rhythm part for me while I sing the first part and repeat? And so on.
Hey,
Can we do a run of the whole song one last time before everyone splits? Lena asked. And so on and on. Everyone packed up, and some were standing outside waiting for the Amelia van, when Zelos approached Zell, speaking quietly. We need to talk. Some other time, Zell answered curtly. Zelos had had enough. He pushed Zell up against the wall opposite the door, with more strength than Zell had imagined he had. Now, you've been avoiding me for days now, and treating me like shit. I thought we were friends. This problem isn't my fault, or idea, or my anything. I'm just as upset as you are, and I think we should... Zell's eye flared with anger. He shoved back with all his weight. Get your hands off me. I said later, and I meant it. I'll email you, or whatever.
The van's here! Mr. Selgottis, is something wrong? Amelia asked.
Plenty, he muttered, and scampered away. On Tuesday, it rained hard all day. Most classes seemed to be giving homework assignments already for over the holiday, and tests to ensure a dismal day. The brightest period of the day was brought to Lena's table by Gowri.
Lena? It's gonna happen.
Gowri beamed golden sunshine onto her face.
Really?
That's good. What is, Gowri? She asked between bites of potato salad.
The remodeling job. My dad's gonna teach me how to do it, and I get hands-on training.
For what? Lena said quizzically.
New rooms for me and my brothers, above the garage. We're gonna add another bathroom to the main house for my grandma, and enlarge my sister's room, too.
Oh, Gowri, that's going to be so wonderful, began Silphiel.
So much work, you mean. But what great work experience for you. That's what you want, isn't it? Construction stuff? Lena interrupted.
Yeah, if I do a good job on this, he'll hire me for the summer. Then maybe I'll have a job for when I'm finished school next year. One that pays good, too.
He smiled down at Lena so warmly that her face grew hot and turned beet red. She couldn't talk. Her mind was working overtime. Was he telling her that he was making plans for years in advance? More importantly, that those plans included her? She shook her head. No, I'm just reading too much into his smile, which is looking pretty damn gorgeous. Ugh! Where did that come from?
Hey, get your hands off my jelly roll! Lena yelled as her mind re-engaged.
Gowri held it above her head, out of her scant reach.
Hey, I asked, and you didn't say no. Too late.
He popped it into his mouth.
Ouch! Stop, Lena!
I'll say yes if I mean yes. That was for picking me up without my permission the other day. Thought I'd forgotten, huh?
Well, an elephant never forgets,
Gowri finished, proud of his quick recovery and comeback.
That's right.
And Lena rewarded him with a smile. And he rewarded her with a bag of peanuts from the vending machine. Zell was watching the entire exchange with a wry smile of his own. Val had gone to buy another drink and walked past Zell.
What's so funny?
Val asked him as he sat next to Philia. Zell leaned across the table, so Lena didn't hear.
Gowri's learning.
Like the Bird Kingdom, some members of humankind are swayed to romance when fed with enticing snacks. Lena is perhaps of that nature.
Are you trying to say that Gowri's trying to land Lena with food?
Val said a bit more loudly than Zell had wanted.
What was that? I heard my name,
Lena said, leaning their way, her eyes narrowing dangerously.
He couldn't believe Gowri just handed you food, that's all. Now relax,
Zell said, glaring just the right amount to pass as having been truthful. Philia and Val began to laugh. Zell hid his smile under his bangs. Gowri started sketching the layout of the rooms on a napkin, while Lena and Zelos offered suggestions. Amelia and Kiki spoke quietly together for a few minutes. Then Amelia turned to Zell.
Mr. Zelgadis?
Hmm?
He struggled to control his snickering.
I have an idea. Maybe you could help me out?
All right. What is it, Amelia?
That new sci-fi movie opening tomorrow night? Well, Kiki told me that there is a special preview screening tonight at 6 o'clock.
I know. I'm sure the tickets are long gone. People would kill to get in, Zell said, interested in the topic. He was one of those murderous ones.
Well, Kiki's aunt was given 4 tickets in trade for an order. Her parents won't let her date, but if you and I were to come along too, it would just be a small group of friends. The van can take us all, too. What would you say?
Amelia's big blue eyes pleaded to Zell for a yes. This did not go unnoticed by Zell. He was torn. It sounded like double dating to him. He and Amelia and Kiki and Zelos. He had never gone on a date, either. Amelia was nice and all, but he was almost 17 and she was only 14. Or so he had heard. However, he really wanted to see that movie.
You're sure about all this? It's a school night, after all. The others can go? He asked.
Do you need to call home first?
She began. No, that's all right. I can make arrangements. Yes, I'd like to come along. Thank you for asking, Amelia, he added politely. Then, to Zelos, he asked, what happened to going to the dojo? Canceled, he grinned. Though, whether his job was canceled that night or he canceled the job for the night, he didn't say. So is it a date? I mean, a plan? Amelia nodded and began speaking rapidly to Kiki about what to wear. Zell closed his eyes and sighed. That probably was a mistake. Oh, joy. Whatever Zelos started to say was drowned out by the ringing of the bell. That brought another smile to Zell's face, which Amelia misinterpreted as for her. Zell rushed off, counting all the things he had to get done after school. Tutoring over at 4 o'clock, if I'm lucky. Shop, dinner, change clothes? Is that really necessary? I guess so. So what do I wear? Zelos' shirt. She likes that. Oh, why am I thinking about that crap? There's math homework, history, and German. Who needs sleep? Oh, and I have to pack for my overnight job. Maybe I can drop it off at his house before school? Then, noticing Zelos walking next to him, he asked, would it be all right if I dropped by early tomorrow and left my overnight stuff there? Good idea. Make it 7:30 and we can pick up coffee and donuts along the way, Zelos added. All right, Zell sighed. That will ensure a super start to that day as well.